Do not steal.
Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by the name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of the hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great. But judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40, found on page 611 in your Bible. And we'll read this responsively. I'll start with the odd, and if you would respond with the even. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decree, that I may follow it to the end. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. The second lesson is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11, and then 16 to 23, and it's found on page 1144. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are the temple. Do not deceive yourself. If any of you think that you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is of God.
Gospel's written in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "You heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Different traditions, and one of the traditions that we have in this church is that we give Bibles to our third graders each year. And this year we have two young men who are going to receive their third grade Bible. So Benjamin Vey and Corbin Stivey, if you would come up. I just took the stickers off that said who's whose. It's brilliant. Okay. So, Corbin, this is yours. And Ben, this is yours. Now, don't run away. Man, I didn't tell you to go yet. Okay, two things. All right? Well, actually, there's more than two. So, thing number one. Next week, you get a test on everything that's in there. So between now and then, you've got to read the whole thing. Okay?
Okay.
You're not buying this, are you?
No.
Okay, good. He's looking kind of scared over there. I wasn't really sure. But anyway, we hope that you use those and that as you use those, they help you to draw closer to God. Okay? Now, what I want you to do is I want you to stay up here. Just sit right there in front. No.
Okay.
And could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? Like, man. It's kind of like confirmation class all over again. I don't know. Man. Okay. So, how are you?
Yay!
All right. So, what did these guys get this morning? What'd they get?
They got Bibles.
They got Bibles, right? Now, let's pretend for a minute that you're in the desert. Which we're not, are we? Way too cold. But let's pretend you're in the desert. You've been there for days. And if you've been in the desert for a really long time and you don't have any food and you don't have any water, what are you at that point?
You could die.
You could die. And you'd probably be really thirsty, right? Okay. So what would you want?
Water.
Water. And food. But water's the most important, right? So let's pretend that you're out there in the desert, you've been there for a couple days, and all of a sudden you come across this cup of water. It's right there in front of you.
Real water.
Yeah, there's real water in there, see? There you go. Do that to your dad later. He'll like it. Now, so, what are you going to do with that water? You going to leave it there?
Nope. You're going to look at it and say, my, isn't that pretty?
No.
Splash yourself a little bit. No?
I could drink it.
Or you could drink it. Why would you drink it?
Because you're thirsty.
Because you're thirsty and you need it in order to do what?
Live.
To live. Ah, oh, that's good water. All right, now. What's this?
Bible.
All right. Now, does it look pretty?
Yeah.
Looks kind of pretty, doesn't it?
Sort of.
Does it do any good to just sit there and go, nice book? Or I could take, you know what else I could do with it? Wait a minute. I could take it home and I've got papers in my house. I could take it home and use it as a paperweight. Does that do me any good?
No.
No.
Read it.
Why? Because it's a Bible. And what's in there?
Jesus.
Jesus is in there. God's word's in there. And that's important for us to be able to live with God. Right? So just like we need water to keep us alive physically, so we need God's word to help us grow closer to God, right? And in order to do that, what do you have to do with this thing?
Read it.
Because otherwise, it's like looking at a cup of water. Doesn't do you a bit of good, does it? So, you guys, I'm not going to give you a test, but make sure you read that. And you guys, you need to do that as well. Because this helps us to get closer to God, which is life for each of us. Okay? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you that you've given us your word. Help us that we might read it, that we might draw closer to you and get to know you better. Watch over and be with our children. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'll see you next week. Anybody else want to see if this is really water? No. That really is. All right. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the last few weeks, we're going to end up today. We've been looking at the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, which is the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about his vision, his plan for a new world, God's world. And what we're going to do is we're going to end up here in this little section about revenge and loving your neighbor. Now, as I was thinking about that, I remembered a story that I heard. And the story is by one of my favorite comedians, Bill Cosby. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to listen to a little section of... I know I don't have anything up here, do I? It's magic. That's why you got technical people to support you. Yes, back there. Yes, back there. So anyway, we're going to listen to just a little portion of a monologue he did by the name of Revenge.
There was one time I really wanted revenge. Revenge. I'm telling you right now, boy, I hated that guy so much. And I got it. Got it good. See, I had a snowball in my hand. And I was going to hit Harold with the snowball, see. So Harold was coming down the street, and I was laughing to myself because I know how funny Harold is. See, every time you hit him with a snowball in the face, plop, he always says the same thing. Says, hey, man, what you want to hit me in the face with a snowball for, man? You know, and I just laugh. just waiting for him, man. I got this light, fluffy snowball, you know, ready to hit him. And that's the rules of the game. You cannot hit a kid in the face with a slush ball. Slush ball is, it has ice and water and gunk all in it, you know. And you can't hit a kid in the face with it. You cannot drop into this open galoshes either because it sends him home. You know, hey, what you want to drop into the galoshes for? You know? So, I'm tickled to death, man, because I know it's a plop. Hey, man, would you want to use it? And he's about 3 feet away, and I raise up to hit him. Something said, pow, on the side of the face, and it was stinging. And all the juice ran down in my underwear and everything. And it was ice all in my ear. Somebody hit me on the side of the face with a slush ball. And I looked around with one eye. And there's old Junior Barnes just to laugh.
Copy, I got you good. I hit you real good, didn't I?
And I said, hey, man, what you want to hit me in the side of the face with a slush ball for, man? And I picked up a snowball and I threw it at him and I missed him. And he started running. I said, Junior Barnes, you come back. And I chased him. I threw another one at him. I couldn't catch him. And I cursed at him. I was so mad. You donkey! You stink! Junior Barnes, you gun, come back and I'll punch you right about. Hit somebody in the face with a sludge ball, let all that stuff go down in their underwear. And I didn't even care. I just sat right down in the snow. I was so mad. And it started to melt. Right through my four pair of corduroys. And I didn't even care. Because I know when I go home, the only thing my mother is talking about, you dummy, how come you sit down in the snow and let it just melt right through your four pair of corduroys? Yeah, Mom, well, what do you care? That's all you care about. Somebody sit down in the snow and let it melt right through your four pair of corduroys. You don't care that Junior Barnes hit me on the side of the face with a sludge ball and let all the gunk go down in my underwear. Because if you didn't care, you'd go out and get him. I'm going to get Junior Barnes. I'm gonna get you, Junior Barnes, boy, I'm gonna get you. And I started to make a snowball for Junior Barnes. I make a snowball that's so round, it's so perfect. It's got a little name inscribed, says Junior Barnes. And I went out looking for Junior Barnes.
You know, if you want to borrow the CD, I can let you listen to how it ended. But, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, even if you're not honest with yourselves, it's all right. Because probably in each one of our lives, there has been somebody like Junior Barnes. Someone who has hurt us, humiliated us, made us upset, so angry that what we really want to do is get revenge. Get them back. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this lesson that we have before us today. And as we look at this, there are a few things we need to remember. First of all, you know, Jesus starts off and he has, he's told these guys about God's world. And that's what the Beatitudes are about. And then he's told them that as members of God's world, they have to be light and they have to be salt. And then he kind of gives them a little bit of a twist, a little bit of a zing. He said, you are to be more righteous. You're to be better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And which really was kind of a difficult thing for them to swallow because these were the professionals. These were the guys that were way up here when it comes to religion. And he said, you're supposed to be better than them. And so he gives them some examples. We went over a couple of these last week, but we're going to do it again real quick. He said, you've heard it said that you shall not murder, but I say to you, anybody who's angry with somebody is guilty of murder. Carelessly call somebody an idiot, which I know none of you have ever done.
and you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is, words kill. And then he said, you know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse, but don't think you preserve your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust quicker than your body. Those leering looks that you think nobody notices, they also corrupt. If you want to be morally pure, here's what you have to do. So for those of you that missed this one last week, here we go. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. Even if you didn't miss it, it hurts just as much this week as it did last week, doesn't it? And so then when Jesus gives us this other, when he continues and he said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, these guys are probably a little bit gun-shy. They're a little leery. They wonder, what's he going to come up with this time? Now, this law that Jesus quotes is known as the lex talionis, which basically just means law of the talon. And when we think about it, when you think of the words eye for eye and tooth for tooth, does that sounds kind of what? Bloodthirsty? Yeah. And really, it wasn't given to be bloodthirsty. It was to stop bloodshed. This is the reason this law was given. So think about it. If somebody comes up, smacks you in the face, and knocks out one of your teeth, what do you want to do? Stand there and go, oh, gee, here, let's do it again. Or do you want to smack them back? And not only do you want to smack them back, but you want to not just take out one tooth, you want to do what? Let's take two or three. So you're going to get not only even, you're going to get more. And so you go and you hit somebody in the face and you take out three of their teeth. Well, they're not real happy with that. And so they go out and they get a couple of their friends and they hold you down and they beat you up. And so you go get a couple of your friends, break an arm. They get two or three of their friends, break a leg. Then they go out and retaliate, take about four or five of your family members, beat up on them, maybe kill one of them. And so what happens is families, tribes, all kinds of people can be wiped out because of somebody smacking you in the mouth and knocking out a tooth. And so this thing of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth means that when you retaliate against somebody, you can't get more than, or can't give more than what you got, basically. That's why it was there. So it's not about being bloodthirsty, it's about stopping bloodshed. The other thing you have to remember is this, that in most cases, it was never carried out by the person who was wronged. In other words, if you wronged me, it wasn't my job to go and wrong you back. You would go to a judge who would take care of it. And, you know, this bloody stuff really isn't all that great. And so normally what they would do is there was a monetary value to it. So there was so much for an eye, so much for a hand, so much for stomping somebody's garden, whatever it happened to be. There was a monetary value to it. But the problem became this, that as time went on, the laws became more complicated. And so then you needed lawyers to handle the laws. And lawyers looked for the loopholes. And then not only did the lawyers look for loopholes, but then the judges became corrupt. And so justice became unjust. Kind of sounds familiar sometimes, doesn't it? Well, we won't go down that road. But anyway, so this is what was happening at this time. And so what Jesus says is this. When somebody does something to you, you don't retaliate to them or against them. Now, a couple other things really quickly. How many of you have heard it said, I'm not going to do a Jesus thing, but how many of you have heard it said that Christianity is for the weak and wimpy? Anybody? It's for wimps, doormats, weak people. Okay, Christianity is for weak people because we're all weak. We all sin. But it's not for wimps. Christianity is not for wimps. Christianity is for strong people. if you take a look at the things that Jesus tells us to do, they're really pretty simple. And what's here? Let's see. There's two confirmations. What's the principle we use? What's the one we talked about? Keep it what? Huh? What's the principle we use when it comes to religion? Keep it simple, stupid. There you go. Keep it simple. Read through the Gospels. Is there anything complicated in there? It's really pretty simple. It's simple, but it's what? Hard. It's simple, but it's hard. The wimps are the people who can't do it, not the ones who do. The people who can't do it, they're the wimps. So Christianity's for strong people, not weak people. Second thing is this. Jesus says, do not resist evil people. Now, when Jesus is talking about this, he is not talking about countries going to war with one another. He is not talking about if somebody abuses you, allow them to continue to abuse you. If somebody throws you down the steps, let them do it 3 or 4 more times. If they kick you, allow them to kick you again. This is not about being a doormat. This is about insults, humiliation, attacks on your pride. These are the examples that Jesus gives. And he gives 4 examples. First one, he says, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. So, Ted, come on up. I'm going to borrow you for a second. Taking my life in my own hands here. Okay, now most people are what? Right-handed or left-handed? Are you right-handed? Good. All right, now if you want to hit me on the right cheek, what do you have to do? No, my right cheek.
Oh.
But you're right-handed. So what hand are you going to use? Oh, so basically you're going to have to hit me. That's good. You're going to have to hit me backhanded. And so you can sit down now. We don't take any more chances here. So it's about somebody slapping you, which is an insult, with not the front of their hand, because that's really kind of a hard thing to do. They're going to slap you with the what? The back of your hand. That's a double insult. So Jesus is saying, if somebody slaps you, they insult you, they humiliate you by slapping you on the right side, you say, and usually when people do that kind of stuff, are there other folks around? Most often, right? So if somebody slaps you, what do? So, here, you want to do another side? Now, if you do that, do you normally smack them back? Or what do you, it's kind of like, man, you're a little weird. I'm not sure I want to do that. He said, and basically what you're doing is taking them off guard, humiliating them. He said, if somebody asks you for your tunic, it's better in the Old Testament language here. If somebody asks you for your tunic, give them your cloak as well. Now, back in Jesus' time, people usually had more than one tunic. It's kind of like this thing here, your shirt. But your cloak, nobody could take from you. They just couldn't take it from you because your cloak was, most people only had one. And it was your bedroll. It was your blanket at night. It could actually be your bed. And he said, basically, if somebody asks you for your tunic, I can't do this now. Darn microphone. Take it off. Give it to them. And he said, then while you're at it, give them your cloak too, which basically makes you what? Naked. Now, if you're in a crowd of people and somebody starts giving you, not only their shirt, but their pants and everything else, what do you do? It's like, no, please, don't do that. Third one, what's the third one here? Oh, a soldier. A soldier could make a Jew, there was a law. Soldiers could make Jews carry their pack for a mile. Now, if you're a Jew, well, how do you feel about the Roman soldiers in your country? Do you like them? No, because they remind you what? That you're conquered, that you're humiliated, that you're under their thumb. It's like, You're disgusting. So if, and usually soldiers can carry their own pack. They don't need, why do they do that? Why do they get somebody else to carry their pack for a mile? Because they can. And so if somebody makes you carry their pack because they can, what do? At the end of a mile, you say, you know what? I'm going to do it another one. And how do they look at you? How would you look at them? Do they, you think they have all their marbles? No. Again, you've kept them off guard. This whole thing is not about anything other than not allowing somebody else to bring you down as low as they are. If you retaliate against somebody, what have you done? You've lowered yourself to their level. And if you already feel that they're pretty small, what does that make you? Even smaller. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard not to want to strike back at the junior Barnes of the world. People that make you feel small, insignificant, who humiliate you in front of other folks, who wound your pride. So, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about the junior Barnes in your life. Somebody who has hurt you, humiliated you, provoked you, angered you, made you feel small, made you feel insignificant. Maybe it was years ago, maybe it was months ago, maybe it was weeks ago, might even have been this morning, I don't know. Just think about that person. Now, this is what Jesus says, the very end of this fifth chapter, only I'm going to read it out of the Message version because I don't know, it speaks to me a lot more than the others. Here it is. In a word, this is what I'm saying. Grow up. You're kingdom subjects, God's world people. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live graciously and generously toward others the way that God lives towards you. In other words, don't make it complicated. We do. We have ands, ifs, ors, buts, loopholes, rationalizations, whatever. And Jesus says, it's really pretty simple, folks. Just keep it that way. As generously as your Father in heaven has been to you. And, you know, if you stop and think about it, he really has been pretty generous. Well, at least I know in my case. I know who I am and what I am and what I really deserve. And I'm really thankful to God every day that he doesn't give me what I really deserve. And that instead, he gives to me out of his love. And he says, as God has generously loved you and forgiven you, so you generously are to love and forgive the junior Barnes of the world who hit you in the side of the face with slush balls. Amen.